Hello, this is Tom Campbell, host of a series of interviews with local band members and music industry professionals from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Today's interview is with Randy Arneson from Kiss of Rain. Hello, this is Tom Campbell. Today is September 25th, 2016, and I'm talking with Randy Arneson from Kiss of Rain. Randy, could you please tell us your full name, your date of birth, and your hometown, please?
My full name is Randolph Lee Arneson, and my birthday is June 25th, 1949. And I was born in South Minneapolis, but I lived from kindergarten on up in North Minneapolis.
Where did you go to junior high school and high school?
I went to Olson Junior High, and that was in 1963.
And how about high school?
Minneapolis Miller Vocational, downtown Minneapolis, where I took commercial art.
And what year did you graduate?
June 6, 1967.
So when did you first get interested in music?
Before the Beatles came out, we were listening to Walk, Don't Run, The Ventures, and you know all the instrumental stuff, so we started playing guitar. My mother and her sister and brother had a trio that played at my grandfather's 3-2 joint in Anoka, Minnesota during World War II, and she taught us how to play guitar. She also played accordion and piano, and she played drums in a school band. So she taught us our country western songs, our polkas, our waltzes, you know, that's what they played. So that's how we started to play guitar.
Now, when you say we, are you talking about you and who else?
My brother, Bruce. He's 13 months younger than I am.
Do you recall the very first guitar and amplifier you purchased?
The guitar, I'm not too sure of, but we had a Silvertone from Sears, and we still have it today, and it still works. We ran our PA through it, or two guitars, and it was the only amp we had. Then the bass player had a bass amp. So we had two guitars going into that, and also the keyboard. So we had actually three things in that. I think it had four 12s in it or something. I forget what speakers, but it worked pretty good.
So when did you first put a band together?
It was in 1963. We practiced once at our house. And my dad said, get the heck out of here. You know, so we went across the street to the drummer's house, and we practiced there from then on.
Who was in the band?
That was Kenny Mauricio's house, and he was the drummer. And then Bruce was on lead guitar. I was rhythm guitar. Chris Kamen was on bass. Then there was Dwight Azen on a Farfisa keyboard.
And who was doing the vocals?
My brother Bruce and I sang most of the songs, and then Dwight Azen would sing once in a while, but he would add harmony. But it was mainly Bruce and I.
What type of music did you play originally?
Well, we used to do things like Blue Black Hair, and then we did early Rolling Stones. Of course, the Beatles came out in more or less 64, but before that, we were doing Ventures, Walk, Don't Run, you know. We did Bebopaloo, and just mainly three-chord songs. Anything that had three chords in it, we probably played it.
Do you remember the very first job you played in public?
Yes, it was a Halloween party in 1963, a 21 and over, behind the Hilltop Drive-In in the basement of a house. My father drove us there, and our keyboard player, Dwight Azen, his brother drove the equipment over. And so we were in the basement, and all these 21 and over crowd, all the women were dressed like men with beards and mustaches, and all the men were dressed like women with balloons and long wigs and everything, and we were just kind of like, what's going on here, you know?
How old are you at that point?
I was 14. Everybody else was 13.
Did you get paid for the job?
Well, we did, and we got ripped off our very first job, so that was kind of good. We got paid $8 when we were supposed to get 10. So we got ripped off $2 because they passed a hat and they gave us $8. I said, oh, we're supposed to get 10. Well, that's all the money we could collect. That's it.
What was the name of the band?
We were the Bowery Boys at that time.
And that was taken from the name of the TV show?
Yep, Satch and the Bowery Boys. Because our piano player wore a bowler hat, and then he kind of looked like Satch. So we called it Satch and the Bowery Boys, but then he didn't want to be Satch, so we just dropped it to the Bowery Boys.
And what other places around the Twin Cities did you play?
Olson Junior High, where we were going to school, or I was, and then we played at Minneapolis Parks. They had some teen things at Falwell Park. And when we played at Falwell Park, we didn't have any hair, so we wore wigs. You know, so here we had women's wigs on playing for kids, you know. Then, of course, we took our wigs off when we got home, you know. But
was this to look like the Beatles?
Yeah, kind of, you know. They weren't short wigs. They were long wigs. They were regular women wigs, so we had really long hair. I think we only did it once like that in the park. We didn't play much at first. I think we started playing a lot when we started playing with Marsh Productions, and that was in 1965.
How did Marsh get connected to your group?
They had auditions at Magoo's, and we got an audition at Magoo's. And so we played there, and then Marsh said, yeah, I like you guys, and I'll book you.
So now this is after Mr. Lucky's, right?
Yeah.
You never played at Mr. Lucky's?
No.
Okay. How about Locates?
We played at Locates in White Bear.
A teen club?
A teen club, yep, as the Bowery Boys. We only played there once.
Any other teen clubs?
We played at someplace else in Robbinsdale.
Mm-hmm.
The Purple Barn.
Eden Prairie.
And I think that was it. Because he was booking us at high schools for like homecomings. And Sadie Hawkins, we played at Edina High School for Sadie Hawkins. And I had a Volkswagen van at the time. It took us 15 hours to paint all the flowers on it. And it said the Bowery Boys on the side. And we showed up at Edina High School, and we parked next to Mercedes and Porsches. And, you know, we said, oh, wow, it was pretty neat, you know. But
do you have a photo of that bus?
Well, I have one picture. I don't know where it is right now, but I only have one picture of it. But it does say the Bowery Boys on the side.
Cool.
Yeah. So you're still in high school when you're being booked by Marsh, correct?
Yes. I was in 10th grade. The other guys were in 9th grade.
How often did Marsh book the band in the early days per week?
Actually, we were playing almost every weekend.
Every weekend?
Yep. We didn't play it during the week at all because we were going to school.
Did you go out and see other local bands in this time period?
Yes, I always took the bus down to Magoo's and used to hang out down there. But we used to go to events around the city when they had bands playing.
Which local bands did you like to see?
Underbeats, they're our favorite band. And then we saw Del Counts.
Gregory D.
Gregory D and the Avantes, yep.
So how long does the Bowery Boys last?
Up until about 67. And then in 67, I graduated high school when I was 17. In 67, we changed it to Pure Honey.
Pure Honey. Who came up with the name?
Well, I turned 18 on June 25th. I graduated on June 6th. But when I was 18, my dad told me to cut my hair. I said, I don't want to cut my hair. Well, you got to move out then. So I moved out, lived with our drummer, Laurie O'Connell at the time. And I was eating breakfast because I started eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for my food. And I bought some honey. And on the honey bottle, it said Pure Honey.
Mm.
So I said, hey, we'll change the name from Bowery Boys. Let's be Pure Honey. Okay, we're Pure Honey then.
Now, who's in the lineup in Pure Honey?
Okay, there was Tom Ikos was on lead guitar, Dwight Azen on keyboards, Laurie O'Connell was on drums. My brother Bruce was then playing bass. And then myself.
And what kind of music did Pure Honey play?
The Beatles, the Stones, and Led Zeppelin just came out, and we were doing that. And so we're getting more heavy. We're starting to do louder music and heavier music. And then we're getting bigger amps. Then we started to Well, we bought a Royal Guardsman from Big Daddy Wags. That was, I think, in 69.
That's a Vox amplifier?
Yeah, Vox amplifier. And then...
Are you still booked by Marsh?
No.
You...
Oh, at this time?
At this time?
Yes, I was, yeah. We were booked up until 1970. So for 5 years, 65 to 70. Mm-hmm. Then I got drafted in 70.
What venues did Pure Honey play at?
Oh, we played at Magoo's again. Then we played colleges. We'd go like to Morris, Minnesota and play for the U of M up there. We went to Approach's Popular Ballroom.
Ellsworth,
Wisconsin. And we only played there once, but we showed up and we were setting up in the big ballroom. And the guy comes up to it and goes, "What are you guys doing?" "Oh, we're playing here tonight." "Oh, you're playing in the bar downstairs. Chad and Jeremy are up here."
Oh.
So we met them, you know. But we had to play in the bar. So when we got there, we said, "Wow, nice stage, big ballroom. This is going to be fun, you know." All of a sudden, we're in a bar, and the drummer is the only guy on the stage, and we were standing on a dance floor. And then on our breaks, we'd go up this back way that you could see the stage, and we'd see Chad and Jeremy up there playing.
So did you have trouble drawing an audience that night or not?
No, they had good business downstairs.
Okay.
But we played like for the state convention of... the JCs, Minnesota JCs, at the Minneapolis Auditorium. That was kind of like our big gig. And we brought our Volkswagen van up the elevator. And when the elevator opened, here's Peter, Paul, and Mary. They were playing in the big part of the auditorium, and we were playing in a smaller one. So right away, I walked out, and I shook their hands and said, "Hello." You know, they were all tall. Even Mary Travis looked like she was like 6 foot tall or something, you know. So that was kind of fun.
Now, the music is changing in the late 60s and getting a lot more heavy. Was that reflected in Pure Honey?
Yep. We started just doing The Cream, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, Hush. We did Hush by Deep Purple and, you know, the heavier stuff.
Did your stage clothing change at that point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was wearing a scarf then. You know, around my neck, and I had star pants where they're all stars and blue, and then I had a pink satin shirt on. Then my brother's girlfriend at the time was a seamstress, and she used to make us shirts, and she made my brother a shirt made out of newspapers. And then she made a shirt for our drummer that was all glitter, and we put a strobe light on our drummer, and he'd flash.
Did you have a light show and a sound guy?
We just didn't have a sound guy, but we had lights. We had like three or four lights on each side and just pointing at the band.
Okay.
And they didn't flash or anything. They were just lights.
So now on the local scene, there's heavier rock bands playing at this time. Did you get a chance to see the local bands like The Litter and
yep.
Joker's Wild and...
Yep.
White Lightning and...
All of them, yeah. In fact, Zippy Kaplan had a little furniture thing next to New Capay. He was selling furniture at one time. Did you know about that? Oh, anyway, I used to go down there and talk to him, and that's when I met Jeff Hill. Then I met him, like, the next week at Marsh's. He was talking to Marsh. He said, "Marsh, I think I got a new name for our band." He wanted to call it Electric Furniture. Because he was selling furniture or something like that. But then he turned into White Lightning, I think.
So what kind of guitar are you playing at this point in time?
1967 ES-335 Red.
Gibson.
And my brother owned it, actually. And then he had a Guild Starfire 5. So he started playing the Starfire 5, and I played Gibson. And then I bought a Telecaster. So I had a Telecaster later on.
Where do you usually shop for music gear?
We always bought, not always, but mostly at B Sharp Music.
What'd you use for amps?
I had a 1967 Twin Reverb with Fender speakers. No, I couldn't afford the JBLs. And then we made our own amps. So I plugged my Twin Reverb into another 15-inch bottom, and then I bought a Vox 18-inch bass amp from Roy Hensley.
Castaways?
From the Castaways. Because we used to go over to Jim Donna's house to get our Wurlitzer electric piano tuned. And he lived over by Waite Park, across the street by Waite Park in Northeast.
So how long does Pure Honey last?
Probably about a year. Yeah, a year. And then we turned it into Zachary.
So that would have been around what time period?
69, 70.
And Zachary, where'd that name come from?
We're going out to Ryan's Ballroom to play. And we passed a street because we're saying, what should we call our band now? I mean, you know, Pure Honey is not working for us, or, you know, it doesn't sound right. So we're driving by and we saw a street sign said Zachary Lane. And so we said, that was just before getting to Ryan's Ballroom on Bass Lake. So, hey, let's call it Zachary. Okay, we're Zachary now. So when we got to Ryan's Ballroom, we were Zachary. It was like three blocks away or something like that. So we changed our name, and then when we got there, I think we were booked as Pure Honey, but they didn't have any advertisement up or anything. It says, yeah, we're Zachary, you know. So we that day we were Zachary.
Now, was it the same lineup as Pure Honey, or was there a change there?
Well, we changed where my brother Bruce, he was on lead guitar, and then we had Gary Strum on bass. I was on rhythm guitar. Dwight Eason was still on keyboards. And then we had a new drummer, Larry Dewis, on drums.
And who's doing the vocals?
Everybody sang. So we were doing Three Dog Night, too. So we're doing Three Dog Night stuff and a lot of Beatles songs because we like the Beatles. So everybody sang, but I think everybody did do a lead sing on some song, but it was mainly Bruce and myself. And then Larry Dewis, he sang Hush by Deep Purple.
So you mentioned Ryan's Ballroom. What about the other ballrooms like the Marigold?
We never played the Marigold.
The Prom Center?
We played the Prom on a smaller stage. It wasn't the main stage. We just played there for a wedding.
Okay. And what about the Bell Ray?
We played at the Bell Ray on the Battle of Bands. There's a Battle of Bands there.
Do you remember who was on the bill?
No, I can't remember.
How about Marion Casey Hall, Bloomington?
No. We rarely went south, more or less. I mean, far. That was far for us was Bloomington.
Mm-hmm. And Zachary stays together until when?
December of 70, I got drafted into the U.S. Army. And so the band kind of broke up, and my brother Bruce got drafted 2 months after me. So both of us went in the service.